And welcome into another edition of the Buzzer Beater. Week two of high school football is done. And welcome in Michael Doherty. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Hey, I'm good. We've got a coach in the studio already, and we're off to a flashy start with head coach Steve Haig is in, and did not have any donuts, by the way. just want to get that on the record. And we did not have any bacon either. We went to Burger Smokehouse last night on the way home. They were closed.
Hey, good trip, though, to California last night. You guys, let's just get right into it. You picked up your first win on the season. It was a pretty good feeling to get that first win of the season last night, Coach, was it not?
Absolutely, and we played so much better. I played a little bit more aggressive and more physical, tackled better, especially against an offense California put in this year, which was just more of kind of, like I told the kids at halftime, kind of a blunt force trauma. Offense, they're going to come at you and bring a lot of people to where they're going, and you have to be willing to step up there and take them on and make those tackles. And offensively, they really didn't stop us offensively. I thought we moved the ball, every time we got it. The only one that probably comes back is that fourth and three call that we had, and we just missed a middle linebacker, and he made the tackle, and they got the ball right there before half and went and scored. But overall, just pleased of how they came out and went after it.
As you look at that game offensively, I was a little bit surprised because in pregame warmups they really practice on throwing the ball. I mean, their pregame warmups they were throwing all over the place, and I thought, wow, are they going to come out and throw? Because that's not what we expected. But they come out in that power back formation, and your guys struggled with it a little bit, particularly there late in that second quarter.
Yeah, and I don't know what they were trying to do early. I really worried about their power quarterback that they run, pulling everybody, and then they run that little wing coming back, and so it's a good play. It's kind of like what we run, where you want to get everybody going one way and then come back. I think they want to probably get better at passing, kind of like we do. I think a lot of their passing game is just vertical routes. They didn't run a lot of outs or do anything like that, and it's kind of tough. It's kind of the thing we figured out, that people are going to put a lot of people at the line of scrimmage, and when they're coming downhill, they have a little bit easier time getting to your quarterback. So I think they'll figure it out as they go down the road, of just some quicker routes with their quarterback, open that up a little bit. Because a lot of it was running that big tight end who should probably have a 70 number on, number 28. He ran it. He's running a vertical downfield, and you throw it up to him, and no one in the defensive backfield is as big as him, and he made a catch last night. But putting in a new offense, you know, the coaches are figuring it out, the kids are figuring it out, and I think I talked to Coach Gregg last night, and he says, I'm about a year away. And, I think he gets another year of maturity under those kids, and they run a season of that stuff. And I think they'll give some people in the Tri-County some problems.
I think you're right. And Heese, who is the big tight end you're talking about, I thought they should have thrown it to him every time they threw the ball. Honestly, he was a mismatch in the defensive backfield. Yep. I mean, he was at least 6'3", 260.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was a hoss. And matter of fact, we mentioned him in the pregame warm-ups. He was just a big target and seemed to have pretty good hands from what I saw in pregame warmups, but they get the big pass from him early that actually started their scoring drive. And let's talk a little bit about that. You get up 15 points, probably starting to feel, I wouldn't say good, but at the same time feeling positive, and then all of a sudden they come back and tie it up, and it's a good learning experience for your young guys, a little adversity there in the second half.
Yeah, I think when you're struggling a little bit, from their perspective and our perspective, is you go back to what you know. And so they started running that sweep with the quarterback and running that counter, and they started getting positive. And the thing is that it's kind of like a shark. You smell that blood in the water, and you're going to continue to go towards it. And they did, and we just didn't do a good job of stopping it. And then in the third quarter, they come back and score and get the two-point conversion to tie it up. And I'm kind of upset because I thought that two-point conversion that we tried in the first half was a big play, because I thought there was a face mask penalty. He said he didn't grab his face mask. I'm pretty sure he did. I have video on the sideline that I can see that. And you know, that can come back when you're talking about a 15-15 game that could have been 16-15 if we make that two-point conversion. But, I mean, you can't really do anything about it then. And we, I thought we answered the answered it well. We, you know, came back and we drove a little bit and then got a stop. And then in that fourth quarter, we're able to score that touchdown and win it. You know, really the only negative was we had a fumble there as we were driving. You know, we can't do that. I told the kids last night, penalty-wise and turnover-wise, we're not a good enough team that we can give the ball back to people. We have to keep it and grind it out, and they know that. And a lot of times fumbles are just from our backs just trying to get that extra effort, trying to get those yards, and I appreciate that. I really don't get on them too hard about fumbles. Only one's probably if you're in the open field and you fumble. I mean, that's your fault, so there's really nobody. But it's just part of the game. And but I was really proud of how they came back. And that last defensive stand, you know, we get them third and long and the fourth and long, and we're able to stop them and then grind out the clock. They're able to get a first down and take their timeouts out of play and take a knee at the end.
I was going to ask you about a couple of players that we haven't called their name, you know, very much, but I think we're going to be calling their name quite a bit in the future, and that is Mr. Reams, Isaiah Reams, and Michael White. The speed, pretty impressive from those guys last night.
Yeah, and I mean, they're great athletes, and we knew that. The thing you worry about with freshmen is the physicality of the game. And so you don't want to throw kids out there. And
I don't think you have to worry about Mr. Reams too much.
Well, the thing was is I was fine with him and Michael going in there for a play or two and taking a shot because I know they were tough enough to take it. The problem is that when you start putting them in there for 30 plays,
right.
Because really they're not – right now they're just not physically as big as the other kids. But last night you know, they weren't shying away, and Isaiah just kept going in there, and he was, you know, he was feeling it and picking his holes right, and we felt he was doing well. And as long as you want to go in there, and we just keep an eye on them that, you know, they're not taking too big of shots, but, you know, he was giving them too. And so, yeah, we knew that. We know we have our eyes on, you know, other guys, you know, Michael White, you know, Sam Adair gets in there, plays defensive line, does a really good job, got a hit on that quarterback when Ty Prince made that interception there in the first half, and so we have some guys, and not just them. There's other guys there that are right there that are going to be players, but they give us a little bit of rest time for our varsity guys that are playing, you know, a lot of snaps, and that's what we need. And you know, not just those two, just from the running back's perspective, just the number of guys who touched the ball and have had a positive influence on the offense. That's what gets me excited. You know, kids nowadays, they, you know, that kid wants 150 yards and three touchdowns and stuff like that. And in the grind of a season, you need to have a number of guys that are able to touch the ball and are confident that they can do it. And, you know, there's, you know, Jayshon White had 91 yards and a touchdown. Dylan Nichols, you know, he gave a tough 60 yards, you know, was taking some hits, got himself a touchdown. Nate Goff caught a pass, had a couple decent runs. You know, Tyler Talley balanced it out, had, I think, you know, close to 50 running and 50 receiving, and, you know, did a heck of a job blocking for Isaiah on that 30. What we call a 23 run for us. And so, you know, those things are what make a team go. I mean, it's great to have those guys who are getting 150 yards and all that stuff, and they're good athletes, but you got to have those guys who are grinding it out. And I think we've got a number of backs that will do that.
I thought on that little wing dive that you call 23, the difference with those guys is that they get to the hole a little quicker. And there was a hole there for them, whereas with some of the other guys, by the time they got to the hole, the offensive lineman couldn't hold their block long enough, and it had kind of closed up a little bit. So that speed kind of helped get you to where you needed to be offensively.
Yeah, and what people don't see is that our option and our dive stuff really helps set that up. If you watch film, you know, I'm watching it last night, and linebackers are just flying towards Dylan and Ty, who are faking our option to the right, and they're just taking themselves out of the play. We don't even have to block them, and then we come back that way, and that left side of the line was doing a good job of staying on those blocks and washing those guys out, and then Tyler Talley comes up there and leads up on the play side backer, and then all Isaiah has is the safety there that he has to elude. And there was a couple times he would have a linebacker, but quick enough and has enough agility and ability to get those guys to miss him, and you know, did a great job. And you know, we look you know, the ceiling and is high for him, and so we look for him to continue to raise it and reach for it.
Sean had a big play on that, similar play to that.
Yeah, he came back to the other side on a 32, and Jayshon has he still needs to get a little bit more physical. You know, still he's still light. I don't know if he eats that much, but you know, a gifted athlete who can run, and when he gets out in space, it's a scary thing. And he saw that. He gets past the second level, which happened there, and then he's so long legged and fast and makes a cut, and there's not very many people that are going to run him down. And I think that as you know, he gets in, you know, being a senior and just being more mature, he becomes more physical, and I think he'll just get better as the season goes on.
Kind of talk about the defense a little bit too. They pretty much set the tone at the beginning of the game, forcing an intentional grounding from the quarterback from Alex Kearns from California. Put the first points on the board and then come back and then kind of kept your momentum and kept them from tying the ball game. If you want to talk a little bit about them.
I think what really helped us was that it was on the goal line, kind of got our guys kind of fired up. You know, they kind of they wanted to get after him, and Coach Grubb, you know, then, you know, sends a couple backers, and our guys went there and got him. And I was just kind of surprised on what California did. I mean, they were their first game, they were all double tight with the cheater back doing all that, and then we go down there on the goal line and they have two wide outs, and I just thought that they kind of got out of their game plan there, or whatever their game plan was. I just didn't think it was the best thing for them. And, you know, then throwing the ball out of there is just tough when you're running offense. And then we get that pressure and got that intentional grounding. And I was worried they were going to say that one receiver that was about 20 yards downfield was in the area. But once you watch film, it wasn't even close. And that was a huge play for us and allowed us to, you know, that's why we went for two there. When our next touchdown was, I was thinking, you know, we could get to 17 and you know, force them to make, you know, two-point conversions, but it didn't work out. So, but in the end, we get the win, and that's the positive.
Well, pretty good win there. And, you know,
next week,
Marshall.
The improved Owls.
Yes. I mean, Adam does a good job there. Those kids, when you fight, when you're down and you continue to fight, eventually you're going to have positive results, and that's what those kids have done. I mean, they've been down for a couple of years, and the kids on the field there have bought into that program, and they have pride, and, you know, Marshall's a proud tradition, and so, you know, they're going to get better, and they have, and Adam's a good coach, and, you know, kind of like us, though, you know, they fight the numbers battle a little bit. I know he is, but he gets a couple wins and, you know, and has a good season, and I think you see those numbers come back. They had the Varner kid, who's a senior, was all conference as a freshman, so he's been around a while.
Seems like forever.
Yeah, and a sophomore quarterback, forget his name, but, you know, he tosses the ball well. So we're going to have to be, you know, we go from one extreme to the other, you know, a running team to a passing team. So we're going to have to just get, you know, buckled down and make sure our guys are aware of the athletes they have there, that they want to get in space and catch the football. You know, it should be a good game up there in Marshall.
Let's talk about one of your defensive backs who I thought had a pretty good game last night, Dorsey.
Yeah. He did, and you know, a little banged up in the knee, a young guy who's figuring it out also. I mean, you know, a sophomore who you know, at times, you know, makes mistakes, but once he gets running and hitting, he's good, and that's one of the things we really preach to him is just you just got to get downhill, because once he starts thinking, it's just a young thing. You know, played most of the game at middle linebacker and did a good job for us.
Well, congratulations on the first win. Good luck in Marshall next week, and we'll talk to you and get a report going into that game later on this week.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited that the production value went up. We got another microphone in here.
we'll just keep on trying.
I don't know how positive that is, because Michael talked a lot more today with that third microphone.
He did. I'm not touching that one. Head coach Steve Hay from the Mexico Bulldogs. And the show is going to keep on rolling on. We're going to bring in right now Michael Selecki. He's our sports writer for the Mexico Ledger.
Why don't we take a quick break and we'll do that and okay. Come back in just a minute with Michael Selecki and more here on the Buzzer Beater Coaches Edition on AM 1340 KXEO.
And welcome back into the Buzzer Beater this Saturday morning, rolling right along week two high school football, and we're going to bring in a special guest. It's Matt Pilger. Michael Doherty is not the special guest, but
special maybe. No.
But our special guest this morning in studio is the writer, the sports writer for the Mexico Ledger, Mr. Michael Selecki, joining us for another week. We didn't scare you away last week.
No, and thank you for having me in, gentlemen. I definitely appreciate it.
Oh, we're so glad to have you in. You last night were in attendance at the Van Far game against Louisiana, and that was a game that Van Far won. Two wins in a row now for Van Far. Tell us a little bit about that game, if you would.
Oh, absolutely. And while it got up to a little bit of a slow start, after a scoreless first quarter and a half-hour lightning delay, it became a true back-and-forth affair that Van Far ended up winning 44-34 over Louisiana at home.
So talk about what looks like a lot of points were scored there after everything got underway. Who were some of the big players that made some big plays in that game, if you would?
Well, someone who I'm not really familiar with, but I became very familiar with last night, was Verlin Johnson, whose first score came at 6:55 of the second quarter on a 60-yard run that made it 6-0 Van Far. Verlin then followed that up at 4:15 of the second on a 63-yard run to double up at 12-0.
Wow. So it sounds like the Van Far offense had some big play capability there.
Yes, apparently he's a big track star. I didn't know that, but you can see that in his running style. He's definitely a straightaway runner. But he also forced Louisiana into a lot of gang tackling because he's listed at 165, but he doesn't run like he's at 165. He forced Louisiana to gang up on him. There are all kind of defenders bouncing off of him. I really like Verlin's running style.
So is Van Far pretty well a rushing team, if you will? Do they pass very much?
They don't pass a whole lot. Last year they ran what Coach Baldwin described as a multi-quarterback running style. And Eric Holmes is back this year. He's got a real side-to-side running style, which is a great variation for what Verlin does. And Eric runs a whole lot as well. They pass occasionally, but it's mostly a running-based offense. I think that's what Coach Baldwin's been partial to since I've been here. Van Far has mainly been a running team, and that's what they stuck to last night, and it paid off.
All right. Now, did they have a passing touchdown later in the game?
They had some two-point conversion passes, but all their touchdowns were on the ground.
Okay.
So next week, which game of the week will you be attending?
Right now I'm leaning towards Van Far versus Wright City. Coach, I really think a lot of Wright City. I know Wright City didn't come out ahead in week one. When I checked out on Max Preps last night, their score still hadn't been reported. Coach thinks a lot of Van Wright City, so we'll see what happens. I know Mexico's still on the road next week, right?
Yep, third week in a row. We'll be in Marshall, Missouri with the Mexico Bulldogs next week.
Yeah, that's probably where I'm going to end up. Eric Holmes is part of the co-op with Community R6. I really like his running style as well. That's another big part of what they've got going on. And some of the things that are new to Van Far's offense here is, not only is Johnson a converted wide receiver / tight end, one of the things that Holmes can do this year is he has the ability to change plays at the line of scrimmage. And one of the things Coach Baldwin isn't shy about telling you is that he rarely makes a bad play call. But now Holmes has the ability to change things up. And one of the things that's always going to be true about Eric Holmes is he's a real smart player. He plays sports all throughout the year. He'll be playing baseball and track and the spring, and he'll be playing basketball in the winter. So if you know CR6 sports, you know Eric Holmes. And so there's definitely a variation. It's not just for Lynn Johnson, but it is really an overall team effort. They've got some great blocking going on, and I'm excited to see what Van Far does next, because that game really wasn't decided until the fourth.
And that should be another good matchup next week. Wright City 1-1. They did beat Duchesne last night 20-14.
Okay.
So should be a good matchup for Van Far.
I agree, and I'm anxious to see what they do.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Michael Selecki. We appreciate you joining us.
And thank you very much for having me, gentlemen.
Yep, look forward to a full report next week, and hope you have a good week out there, and thanks again.
Enjoy your holiday weekend.
And you do the same. We'll come back with more of the Buzzer Beater Coaches Edition here on AM 1340 KXEO. Another special guest next on KXEO.
And welcome back into the Buzzer Beater on AM 1340 KXEO. And we're rolling right along, and we've got another guest joining us here on the line, and it's the Centralia head football coach. And
Coach Jim Newstead on the line with us.
Yeah, Coach Newstead, you there with us? Oh, great. Well, I wanted to say thank you for calling in and joining us on the show this morning, and congratulations on your win last night against Clark County. So if you had to give the game ball to anybody, you know, one offensive player, one defensive player, who would that go to?
Offensive player would be my quarterback, John Duran. John Duran had 21 carries, 167 yards, and a touchdown. A defensive player would be a tough choice. I'd probably go with Alex Ayers down there, their DN, and we kind of feel responsible for stopping some of the read option stuff they did. The quarterback, their quarterback's the best player. He ended up with 7 solos, 5 assists, 1 sack, and 4 tackle for loss as a quarterback. So he had a spectacular night. And then Nick Wheaton would probably be my runner-up on defense. He had 5 tackles and 2 interceptions. They're great. They kept us the ball game early. I can't get enough
head to coach 4 season. Duran moved in from wide receiver from last year, if I'm not mistaken. It sounds like he's transitioned pretty well.
Yeah, he had a couple bumps and bruises in the first game against New York City, but then that quarterback and all my guys in offense. I mean, I'm starting 2 guys this year in the same position they played last year in offense. So we had a bunch of bumps and bruises there in New York City. We kind of gathered ourselves this big Clark, kind of simplified some things and made it a little bit easier for it. And John had a heck of a game running the ball.
Well, Coach, who are you up against next week, and have you had a chance to start thinking about that today?
Yeah, you got Palmyra. Our first 2 teams are pretty tough. Murrell, Clark, and Palmyra are all good teams. The good thing is you finally get a home game, so they'll be coming to us, and they're clicking right now. And I haven't had a chance to watch them yet. Like I said, I got only 2:30 and got up, came here to talk to you, and I'm going to start watching some film. We're done now.
Obviously, as you mentioned, Palmyra is a tough team. Your schedule was very much front-loaded this season. Do you think that helps you as you go throughout the year?
Well, I mean, the conference helps you in general for districts. Whenever you play them, I mean, our back end is pretty heavy, too, because we get West Hancock from Illinois, and Mankin is our last game. So there's not a whole lot of easy games. You got Brookfield in the middle, and it goes off to a great start this year. So there's no easy games in the conference. You get to try to play all the conference games, and that kind of only helps you in the district. You can only get better in our conference.
You mentioned Brookfield. Have you seen their size up front? They are a big team this season along the lines.
Team, I haven't watched Belmont, but I know what they had coming back, and then they got the big kid and a bunch of other big kids, so we know that would be a tough task. We got quite a few games in front of us before I worry about that.
Run around them, Coach. Run around them.
You do that to everyone.
Coach, we want to thank you for joining the show this morning. We know you had a late night last night, so we're going to let you off the line, and we'd love to talk to you again here soon.
All right, appreciate it. I'll talk to you next weekend then.
All right, this has been Coach Jim Newstead on the line with us here on AM 1340 KXEO. And do you want to take a quick break? No, we're good. We've got a special in-studio guest.
This old guy knows how to talk on the microphone. Oh. He should be okay.
we got him. I believe you're doing a little bit of hunting this morning. We called you in from that. But Mr. Kirk Ekron is joining the show this morning.
Did you see any coons out this morning? What were you hunting for?
Doves.
Oh, okay.
Open dead dove season.
Oh, that's right. It is. Yeah. So did you have any luck this morning?
Well, I shot twice and killed 3. That's pretty good for an old guy.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Haven't gone to the good spot yet.
Okay. Is that later today?
Well, we got to go to the Mizzou game, but we're going to try to come a little bit later this morning.
You know, that's one of the reasons why you're in here. Obviously, former Mizzou player. You and your brother, who's moving? When is he moving back to town? I know
it'll
soon.
Be about a year.
Another year.
His son Hayden.
He keeps putting it off.
It's been
a year for like 3 years now.
I guess. But his son Hayden plays high school football for St. Rita in Chicago, and he actually committed to play quarterback at Montana State.
Oh, nice.
So he's headed out there next fall. But as soon as he graduates, then Andy and Jessica will be back to Mexico, which we're really excited about.
Oh, yeah. I am, too. It should be interesting to get you two back together. I'm sure there are some stories. There are a lot of stories that we probably won't discuss on the air.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, you're a member of the MU Alumni Association here in Audrain County, and of course it is opening day for college football, and Mizzou Tigers at home taking on UT Martin. A lot of folks may not know this, but you actually have a connection to Mizzou starting quarterback Drew Lock. Is that right?
That's true. I've got several connections over there this year, which is really neat. But Andy, Drew's dad, and I were actually roommates at Mizzou, well, suite mates, whatever you want to call it. He was on one side of the duplex and I was on the other, and we considered each other roommates for sure. So pretty neat. And then the backup quarterback, Michael Wilson, his dad, Curtis, was the center over there when I was there for a couple of years. So pretty neat. And then the other thing, connection, I guess, this year is Ted Monachino is the defensive analyst, and his mom actually lives in Ladonia now. He grew up in Bethany, and we played together, and he was the we coached for Baltimore on their Super Bowl winning team, and then was the defense coordinator for the Colts last year. And he and I were able to actually visit for a little bit yesterday, which was kind
of
fun.
A lot of people don't realize that that he is back, and he is a big name in the NFL circles, much less the college circles.
He really is, and he is able to come in and. And I asked him yesterday kind of what his role was, and the bottom line with the analysts, they have a special teams analyst, which is Coach Unger. They have an offensive analyst, which is Coach McGee, who had been at A&M, and then right. Coach Monachino is the analyst on the defensive side. And we were able to visit a little bit, and he said basically Coach Oldham told them that you are to assist, support, and simplify. So that's his role, and he can't work directly with the kids, but he basically helps coach the coaches, and right. it's a pretty neat deal.
How much is he? He's almost, I would think, a mentor to Ryan Walters as opposed to a coach. I mean, it's I'm assuming Ryan's got to be in love with the fact that he's got a guy like Ted to kind of lean on.
Yes, I think so. Ted really feels strongly about Coach Odom, that he's the right man for the job, and he really likes Ryan Walters. He's tough, he's very detail-oriented, and it's going to be neat to watch him develop.
What have you heard about the defense for this year? We were hearing leaks out of camp that they've performed fairly well in camp, but, you know, everybody performs well in camp. That's just the nature of the beast.
Camp is camp, and the real thing is getting ready to start this afternoon. But, you know, in speaking with Ted, he felt that they have a chance to be pretty good. But as he, you know, told me yesterday, he said, you know, we do not have the athletes that the Georgias have, you know, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, so they have to be right. And you can't make mistakes. Yeah. You know, they have good enough athletes, but they have to be fundamentally sound, and they have to be in the right position at all times. And if they're not, you know, they're going to have, you know, wide receivers running free down the middle. So,
as you go to a football Saturday, who do you spend? Does Andy make it back ever?
He's coming in next week for the Wyoming game. One of his kids played for St. Rita. Plays for Wyoming, so they're coming in for that, so that ought to be fun.
Outstanding. I know one thing that I did want to talk to you about, too, with being a member of the Audrain County MU Alumni Association. You guys do scholarships, and one of them's in your father's name, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Give away, you know, money to kids that are going to Mizzou, obviously, and one of those was in honor of my father, and we have been doing a run for him every year and to raise money for that and give away, you know, a scholarship in his name, which was quite an honor.
Well, that's outstanding and awesome. I know you guys have watch parties, and you're getting those set up for later on.
Yep, I have watch parties for basketball, you know, and football, and a lot of times we'll have something downtown as well. And, you know, Audrain County has been huge, huge, huge supporters for Mizzou, and they've, you know, Pearl Motor Company has done stuff for years and years and years as far as cars. Mike Alden, the former, you know, AD, was excellent, you know, to Audrain County and did a lot of things for us. So we appreciate Mizzou, and we appreciate everybody that, you know, that has a role in trying to get our university back to where we need to be, because, you know, we've been lacking a little bit with the support from the standpoint of
what happened a couple years ago.
What's an Akron tailgate look like on a Saturday?
Well, the Akron tailgate this is going to be kind of lacking this time.
Only,
but,
only three dove.
We're not cooking dove. But we're going to go over and have a good time and thankfully, you know, it's football season.
Absolutely. Do you normally tailgate with any particular people? Or
well, okay, we've done a little bit of everything. We tailgate, you know, have tailgated in the past with a lot of Mexico folks. But my favorite thing to do is float through all the tailgates.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of social when it comes to that. So I have friends in about every lot, and we like to kind of float through and visit with, you know,
nice.
A lot of my former pledge brothers and that sort of thing. So,
what year did you graduate from Mizzou?
Spring of 88.
88. So,
mm-hmm.
So kind of give us, I mean, you talked a little bit about Andy Locke, about Curtis Wilson. Who else was on that ball club?
Well, the biggest name would probably be Eric McMillan,
yeah.
That, you know, yeah. was an All-Pro with the Jets,
right.
and is still a very good friend of mine. And we text back and forth, and, of course, that social media thing called Facebook, you know, is a nice thing to be able to keep, you know, keep up with some of those guys. But Eric would probably be one of the bigger ones. And then, oh my goodness.
I'm trying to think of who your quarterback was, because I should
Marlon know. Adler was our quarterback for a while. Warren Seitz, who actually then was in Moberly as a baseball coach for a little while.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So, but those are some of the guys. So,
okay.
Yeah. Kirk Eckern joining us this morning, and hope you will do it again soon. And go get us a Mizzou victory, will you?
We'll do what we can. All Thanks right. for having me on.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for joining us. Kirk Eckern here on the Buzzer Beater Coaches Edition on AM 1340 KXEL. We'll take a quick break. Be right back in just a minute.
And welcome back into the Buzzer Beater here on Saturday morning. Mr. Doherty liking the music going on. And the show's rolling on, and we've got a special guest on the line joining us here for the first time on our Buzzer Beater. And it is the second week in a row, rather. Coach Crochet, are you there, sir? Oh, well, congratulations on your victory again last night. It looked like a close contest. Can you talk to us a little bit about that ball game?
Yeah, it was two pretty evenly matched last night. They played for their hump job. Our kids played hard as well. And, first half, things going to halftime. And fourth quarter,
Coach, you're breaking up just a little bit on your cell phone, but it looked like it was a great win. Who were some of the stars of the game last night, if you will?
Well, Kason Berry on offense rushed 18 times, 140 yards, one touchdown. Now, on defense, he had a pretty good quarterback running the ball, but he had two interceptions, but I won for a run back for a touchdown for about 50 yards, and then he intercepted the ball with under a minute left to kind of seal the victory there. They had one opportunity to beat us actually there late in the game. It was 14-12. Defense played really well all across the board last night. Offense, we had our struggles, but Salisbury had a pretty good game plan for us.
And so going into to next week, have you had a chance to look at any kind of film this morning after the game last night? Did you have any weather delays either? We're hearing a lot about that today.
Yeah, we started at 7:30 last night in the lightning. I haven't had a chance to look at any film or anything. I've been in the ER with my little daughter all night. I didn't get 1 hour of sleep yet, so I'm still going.
Well, I hope everything's going to be all right on that front, and we do appreciate you giving us a call and an update on that this morning. Who are you playing next week, Coach?
We're playing Scotland County. And Scotland County, you know, they played two pretty tough opponents right off the bat. They played Mayette last night, and then they played Marceline week one. So they played two state-ranked teams, but you know, I've seen them in the Jamboree. They're a solid squad. They got one of the best quarterbacks in our area.
Well, once again, we want to give you a huge congratulations. You started off the season at 2-0. It has to feel pretty good for you, doesn't it, Coach?
Yeah, especially a win like last night. You know, we fought. It was a pretty game to watch from a fan perspective. Man, it was a gut-wrenching game. Our kids, you know, they gutted it out, and they just stuck in there and pulled out a win.
Well, congratulations once again, Coach, and I hope everything's going well with you. And, you know, hopefully we get to talk to you next week and you're 3-0.
I hope so.
All right. Well, thank you so much for giving us a call here this morning. That has been Coach Gary Cruchet on the Buzzer Beater. We'll let you go, Coach, and talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks for the care, Grant.
And thank you so much, sir. And that was Coach Gary Cruchet joining us here on the Buzzer Beater this morning. And now we go from Coach Cruchet, and I think we'll just keep it right here, if you don't mind, Mr. Doherty, and bring in our good friend Rick Pratt. Welcome in, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you in. Rick owns Pratt's on Monroe here in town, and one of our fine sponsors, and we certainly do appreciate that. Opening of college football today. Are you excited?
Well, heck yeah, I'm excited. You know, I've been waiting for this. This is the greatest day of the year. Sorry, honey.
Oh. So, Rick, tell everybody about yourself, because not a lot of folks know where you came from. But you did play some college ball, didn't you?
Well, played is a pretty generous word. I was on the team, and I went to the University of Washington. Born and raised in Iowa, went to the University of Washington. And then from there, I worked for Boeing for quite a few years, and then decided I was getting fat, so I thought I should probably have a reason for doing so. So I opened a restaurant and a bar.
Well, I can personally attest to the food, and very, very good, and you're making me fatter.
Well, hey, you're welcome.
So how did you go from Iowa to Washington? What was that
Well, I grew trip? Up on a farm, and my family, we had a pretty good-sized farm, and I realized that I did not want to do that for the rest of my life, so I thought, where would be the furthest possible place I could go and not have to come home and, you know, work on the farm during the summers? And that was where it went. To be honest, it was also it was kind of exciting to get a Division I scholarship. You know, that was kind of exciting.
What did you play in college?
I was the defensive back. I was a strong safety. You know, but like I said, I was on the scrub squad at best. You know, so yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't know this about you, but you're a Cubs fan as well.
Yes, I am.
Yes. How would people not know that?
Exactly, and you will refer to them as the first place Cubs
fan. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Actually, you were referred to them as the first place Cubs for now. So we'll see.
I live in the present, sir.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about last night. You know,
that's the past. There's a new game today.
Well, you know, you've got to be pretty happy that the Cubs did get a World Series.
You know, that I got to see something my dad or my grandfather never seen. So, you know, the Cubs went in a World Series. Now my kids and their kids may never see another one, but hey, at least I got to see it.
That's absolutely right. What are your thoughts and feelings on that? The Cubbies going to hang on to the division?
Well, on August 1st, they figured that the Cubs and the Dodgers were probably going to be the two locks to represent the National League in the World Series. And on the 20th of August, they figured the Cubs and the Dodgers would be the two first-place teams and not even make the playoffs. So I'm not feeling confident in their chances.
No doubt. So as my partner's reminding me, we are talking about football, too, here this morning. But Mizzou, you're a pretty big Mizzou football fan, aren't you?
Oh, not at all, but thanks for asking.
What?
I'm teasing. I do like Mizzou. They got a pretty strong offensive squad. I think with Locke and Roundtree and Crockett, you know, those are three dynamic backs. You know, I think, you know, with Crockett, you know, probably getting the brunt of the work, you know, Roundtree will be in there too. So
absolutely. Now, I know you're an Iowa Hawkeyes fan. They open up the season today against Northern Illinois. What do you think their chances are?
Well, I figure Iowa has probably a 60-40 chance of showing up. The Iowa Hawkeyes, they seem every year to have a surprise win and a surprise loss, you know, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see if the Iowa Hawkeyes stumbled against Northern Illinois. Just like Mizzou, you know, last year, their opening game against Missouri State, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no defense whatsoever in that game. What was it, like 72-43, I believe, is what the score was last
Something
year.
Like that. There was a lot of points.
Yeah, a lot of points. So I was like, wow, come on, Tigers.
What's your college game day look like?
Oh, my college game day looks like me working.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I gotta work. Yeah.
but you'll have the games on over at Pratt's.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have several TVs, and we'll have as many games going as possible. You know, definitely the Mizzou game.
And I hear some watch parties may be planned for the Mizzou Alumni Association over there here in the future.
Yep. So. Yep, we got several events actually coming up for the Mizzou Alumni Association. So.
We'll talk about that a little more in the future. And, you know, I don't want to keep you busy here this morning. So we want to thank you for joining the program, and I hope you'll do it again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You guys have a wonderful afternoon and morning and all that. And thank you for having me.
Well, Mr. Rick Pratt, the owner of Pratt's on Road, stops by this morning as a guest. We're going to take a little bit of a break here on the buzzer beater, expecting to talk to Coach Kevin Baldwin of the Van Far Indians here in just a moment. And we'll have that for you right on the other side of this on AM 1340 KXEO. And welcome back into the buzzer beater Saturday morning here on KXEO Local Sports Talk. Matt Pilger along with Michael Doherty. And the show has been very busy this morning, and I have another head coach on the line. And head coach Trent Tracy is joining us now, head coach of Southern Boone. Are you there, coach? All right, coach, you looked pretty good again for a second week in a row, and this time you guys were on the road with a victory against the Fulton Hornets. Tell us a little bit about what happened in that game last night, if you would.
Well, as most teams face, you know, we're my first team. They got five plays into the game, and then we had about an hour lightning delay. But, you know, that's just sometimes you have to roll with the punches. And, you know, the boys right before the delay, we went on defense first, and on third and about seven, we intercepted the football. We ran one offensive play, and then we had to go to the locker room, came back out. You know, with the field conditions the way they were, we really emphasized that ground game last night. Once again, all three facets of the game, special teams, offensive defense, did a great job. We had a kick return for a touchdown, then a punt return for a touchdown. I think the defense forced three turnovers. The offensive line did a great job. And Obi Phillips actually had six touchdowns last night. Combination of the reception touchdowns, the rushing touchdowns, and the kick return touchdown.
Coach, your ball club has come out firing on all cylinders to start the season. You've got to feel pretty good about what you're seeing here early.
Yeah, you know, based on our performance in the Jamboree, I've been really happy with our growth in the last 2 weeks. And it really starts with our guys up front. You know, we have three sophomore linemen starting on the offensive line. And, I think the Jamboree was an eye-opener for them, realizing what it's like to play Friday Night Football. And they've really stepped up their game these last couple weeks. Our center, Brett Trice, he's a senior and he's a three-year starter. He's really done a great job of kind of taking those guys in and getting them to understand what it takes to compete on Friday night.
Now, I'm assuming that the NCMC hasn't talked to Southern Boone. They've been talking about expanding. Now, I'm assuming we haven't talked to Southern Boone the way you guys are beating up on us. let me ask you very quickly. I'm assuming Sticknote had another big game last night.
Yeah, he did. He did a good job. Yeah, punt return with about 75 yards in the game. And just, you know, the way he manages the game at the quarterback position. And at the safety position, you know, he's our leader out there. He's such a smart player, and then when the ball snaps, he goes from a lot of dynamic things.
Obviously, every coach finds things that you've got to improve upon, but what do you think is probably the one thing that you look at now and say, here's where we need to sharpen our focus a little bit?
You know, it's a good question. You know, in the who's coming off a big win this past week. And, you know, our focus each week is just part of being to get better. And whether it's Versailles or somebody else down the road, the only thing that matters is the team that we're playing this week. And, you know, we just got to stay focused and not let this great start get to our heads. You know, because once we get in our conference play, every team is a tough out. And we've got to be mentally focused and physically focused to just keep improving each day, work hard in the weight room. We got to stay strong. We got to stay quick. Get healthy. We have a few guys that aren't with us, and we're hoping to see maybe one of those guys back this week. And you know, it's a grind, and we've got to just stay focused each week on the task at hand.
You know, Coach, I was talking to you a little bit off of the air yesterday, and the kids are back in school this week in Southern Boone. They just started. Did it affect them anyway with the schedule that they're going on with everything else that's going on with school now with their performance last night, or could you tell any difference?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Tuesday was our first day of school, so kids were back in class and they weren't used to having time off. And then we go out to practice and it was over 100 degrees on the field. So, that we had to face adversity on Tuesday. And then we had school Wednesday and Thursday, but we were actually off Friday. We only had a 3-day week. So, next week will be our first actual football game when we have school on the same day. The kids just, I stress it to them, they've got to deal with everything. You have to find that balance. While we want to be focused on a football game, but they also, most importantly, have to be focused on the classroom. And, just managing those things is always an obstacle, but that's the same for every school that we're going to play. So that's never an excuse. That's just something we have to deal with.
Well, Coach Tracy, we appreciate you calling us this morning and being a part of our Coach's Call-In Show. Off to an outstanding start, and I hope that, you have continued success, and we hope to talk to you again very soon.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
All right. Well, thank you, Coach Tracy, and we want to wish you the best of luck, and we will talk to you again very, very soon. Good luck to you, Coach.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right, buzzer beater is rolling right along here, and I believe that we are going to have another coach joining us here in just a moment. Michael, we talk a little bit about some of the scores for just a second if you wanted to.
Absolutely. Let me run down some of the scores from last night. It included Blair Oaks hosting Oak Grove and shut out Oak Grove 48-0. Boonville, 49-14 winners over Holden. The Pirates looking good in that particular game. Palmyra, we talked about them a little earlier. As far as an upcoming opponent, they get the shutout of Bowling Green, 39-0. The Bobcats fall to 1-1. Monroe City, probably one of the bigger surprises of the entire week. They win 8-0 over Brookfield. And we mentioned Brookfield. They have a huge offense and defensive line, like 6'2", 6'3", and a couple of 6'5", 6'6 kids. They are just going to be big across the front line, and that translates into being more competitive. Obviously, Mexico at California, 22-15, the final there. Centralia at Clark County, 19-8 for the Panthers. Clopton-Ellsbury over MMA, 38-6. And Battle hosted Smith Cotton and held on, 39-22, over a pretty good Smith Cotton team. And then Hickman and Helias, the Crusaders, with a 34-14 win. We'll run down some more scores here in just a minute.
All right. Well, right now we have another head coach joining us on the line. I believe I have Coach Kevin Baldwin with me, the head coach of the Van Far Indians. Are you there, Coach?
Yes, I am. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing really good here at the Buzzer Beater, and thank you for calling in. Second week, you're off to another win, 2-0 now. And what did you think about your team's performance last night, if you'd share that with us?
Well, as I shared last week, we're an awfully young and experienced team this year, but we played a little better last night than we did last week. Still got a lot of work to do yet, but our young offensive line kind of came too close a little bit last night, and things are looking up. We know we've got some tough opponents ahead of us. So.
Absolutely. Louisiana last night, it was a 44-34 win for you guys, 10-point victory. Who got it done for you mostly, or was it a mixture of both offense and defense?
Well, our defense really came through when we needed to. Louisiana is a much improved team over the past years. Extremely well coached. They're doing a good job. They've got a lot of kids out that haven't been out in recent years, and they're doing a lot of right things. And but as far as our side of it, it seemed like it was just kind of a slugfest. Every time that we'd score, they'd score, and vice versa. And what it came down to was it came down to extra points. We got a few two-point conversions that ended up being the difference in the ball game.
Kind of a shootout last night, obviously, at 44-34. Your offense definitely comes through. You talked about the defense coming up with some big plays, but a little bit of work to do on that defensive side?
Yeah, we really do. As I said, I keep beating the same drum, but we're just really young on both sides of the ball, and we make young mistakes. And we had one situation last night where a kid totally wrong played the play, had to get on him about that, but he committed a penalty to save a touchdown, which was the right decision to do, and we ended up holding, and as it worked out best for us. But sometimes you got to cover yourself with a penalty when you make a mistake, and it ended up being a touchdown that at that time could have been a game-saving touchdown.
You talked about Louisiana a little bit. They've always had talent up there. It's just always been recently been a numbers game where they just haven't had very many kids come out for football. And it sounds like some of that is being rectified.
Well, their head coach, and his name slips my mind right now, but he's a new guy this year. You know, he's doing what I had to do a couple of years ago when I came to Van Park. He got kids out that haven't played football in a while, and if my memory serves me right, they finished the season with 17 kids last year, and 10 of those kids were seniors. So out of the 30 kids that they've got out this year, so they only had 7 of them out last year, so they've got a lot of new places on their team.
And next week you guys will be taking on Wright City. Have you had an opportunity to find out anything about Wright City or see any kind of video yet after last night's game?
Well, we're working on that right now, and we played Wright City there in our conference. We know quite a bit about them. We know quite a bit about their history. We know what kind of athletes they've got. They're always a tough game for us. They're one of the bigger schools in the conference, and usually a pretty good little power in football. Their schedule is a little tougher earlier than ours is. So coming into a game, it's kind of hard to compare apples to apples, but. It's going to be. We hope to show up and give them everything we can, do the best we can, and hopefully it'll come out on our side.
Coach Baldwin, I want to thank you for joining the show with us each and every week religiously. We certainly do appreciate the updates on Van Far, and great start to the season. Continued success for you, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. We appreciate it.
All right, this has been Coach Kevin Baldwin on the Buzzer Beater this morning, and thanks so much to the coach for joining us here, and that's pretty much going to be a wrap here on the Buzzer Beater. We went a little bit long, but a pretty busy morning, Michael.
Yeah, it has been, and we appreciate all the coaches that have checked in this morning. It's, as you mentioned, a busy edition. Let's very quickly run down those other scores for those people who are listening and are wondering what happened around the area. DeSmet beat Columbia Rockbridge 35-19. Southern Boone obviously beat Fulton 54-7. Ava beat Hallsville. Kind of an odd pairing. Ava, a fairly bigger school than Hallsville. 31-0, the shutout there for the Bears. Jefferson City over Hannibal, 30-27. The Pirates have lost 2 in a row to Jeff City teams, Elias and now the Jays, and all of them by 4 points total. Pirates coming into Mexico in 2 weeks are going to be a handful for the Bulldogs. Harrisburg loses to Schuyler County 26-12. South Callaway 21-6 winners over the Herman Cavs. And Kirksville shuts out Chillicothe 14-0 in the NCMC game. It's obviously Chillicothe's not a conference game, but that's kind of a determiner. Kirksville's going to be a handful as well. Van Far 44-34. Moberly 34-0 over School of the Osage. North Callaway 35-12 over Tipton. And then the Paris score that we talked about, 14-12. So some interesting setups for next week. Obviously, Mexico is on the road at Marshall against an Owls team, a much improved Owls football team. We'll have all the action for you right here on AM 1340 KXEO.
Absolutely, and just to let you know that the Mexico softball team had a rain delay last night, and this morning they are already off and running, and I believe their first game is against Eldon, and I've been getting score updates, and I'll give you an update here. The latest, it is 3-1 Mexico Bulldogs in the top of the sixth in that battle tournament, so congratulations to them so far, and if they hold on to win that one, and they'll be playing a second game later on today. Of course, we've kind of covered the gamut. Mizzou football opening up today against University of Tennessee Martin. Cardinals at home tonight against the Reds. And the Kansas City Royals continue on at home tonight against the Baltimore Orioles. Have we covered it all, sir?
So long for just a while. Seems like I've heard that before.
We're going to really do it this time. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Buzzer Beater on AM 1340 KXEO.